Good morning, congregation. You can follow in your pew Bibles, Luke 18, page 1494, starting 9 through 18. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalted themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Out of all the gospel writers, Luke is the only one that shares this story about the tax collector and the Pharisee. This parable comes following right after the sermon that Rick gave last week. And both parables are about prayer. In fact, most of Luke's gospel is about prayer. So this week's lectionary passage appropriately falls just before Reformation Day, the day Martin Luther, the 16th century German monk, nailed his 99 theses to the church door. These theses pointed out the difference between accomplishing righteousness and being accounted righteous. This was a major change in the church, which ended up dividing the Roman Catholic Church. This division ended up forming the Protestant churches, which includes us as a Reformed Church, and is also why the Reformed Church celebrates Reformation Day. There are three parts to my sermon: guilt, grace, and gratitude. First, we look at our guilt. The title of my sermon was, Whose Righteousness, Mine or God's? Now, maybe this passage is familiar to you, maybe not. But as I studied this passage, I realized there was more to the parable than just humility of the tax collector's prayer. And this parable left me feeling a bit uncomfortable. Maybe you felt a little uncomfortable after we read it as well. The Pharisee compares himself to others who he believes have sinned much more than himself. And don't we do the same thing? Don't we compare ourselves? That other person has done much worse than me. Let's take a minute and look at the Pharisee. The Pharisee was part of the Jewish sect. Pharisees were known to have strict observance of religious law, both written and oral. And the word Pharisee comes from a Hebrew word meaning separated ones. The Pharisees saw themselves as different than the common people, those who didn't follow the law as closely. Pharisees were the synagogue leaders, and they usually had more education regarding the Torah than the average person at that time. Today, the term Pharisee can also mean hypocritical or self-righteous person who appears religious but lacks true piety. Basically, a Pharisee is one who follows the letter of the law but ignores the spirit of the law. So let's look at the parable again. Imagine with me. The Pharisee is standing in the middle of the synagogue. He's dressed in fine robes, and he's got beautiful shawls, and his head and nose are up in the air. And he's telling God all the good things that he has done. His prayer seems like a thanksgiving, but the Pharisee implies that he is better than most other people. And he tells God how he has gone way beyond the requirements for him as a Pharisee. His arrogance really comes out when he uses the first person, I. He says it four times in two verses. Paul David Tripp says, this prayer is not a prayer at all. There is nothing prayer-like about what this man is doing. His posture, his attitude, his content are not prayer-like. The Pharisee is basically telling God he doesn't need anything that God can offer. David Laus describes Pharisee's words as haughty, even arrogant, and more than a tad self-righteous. He's right. He's not like other people. He's not a thief. He's not a troublemaker. He's not an adulterer. And he's absolutely nothing like the tax collector. The Pharisee sees himself as righteous. And in those days, that meant he was successful. But he is not righteous in the sense that he is justified by God. People of God, it all began in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve fell to temptation of the devil, and they ate what they were not supposed to. They sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. The father and mother of all humanity. Therefore, we are born into sin. Not one of us is immune to sin. And we call this total depravity. We're all doomed to sin and death. No matter what we do, it's not acceptable to God. We can go serve the homeless. We can give a lot of money in the collection plate. We can read our Bible, and we can pray every day. But none of those things justify us with God. Don't get me wrong. All those things are good. God wants us to help the poor and support those that are in need. He wants us to daily read his word and pray and be in relationship with him. But none of that is enough, because every single one of us falls short, including every pastor, every elder, every deacon, and every other religious person. Why? Because we were born into sin. And we can never get our hearts and our thoughts and our actions totally pure with God. But then comes grace. Because God did not intend for us to be doomed forever. In the Reformed theology, we're told that we first admit, we admit that we're unable to save ourselves from sin and death. That's it. We just say, God, I can't save myself. And second, we need to realize that we are completely dependent on God for our salvation. And this, people of God, this is the gift of justification. This is the gift of mercy and grace from God. If we believe that Jesus was sent by God to die for our sins and redeemed us through his resurrection, we are justified by him. Now, the tax collector in Jesus' day was usually a Jew, but they would have been hired by Romans to collect money for the Roman Empire. Tax collectors were despised by their own people. Maybe you can think of some people groups out there that the majority of society despises. One I know is people we used to work with, sex offenders. They were despised. The tax collectors were also greedy, and they would extort the public and then pocket the extra money for themselves. Jesus interacted with tax collectors while he was on earth. Matthew, maybe you recognize that name, otherwise known as Levi, he was called to be Jesus' disciple. And there was a time where Jesus stopped during his traveling to talk with a man named Zacchaeus and have a meal at his house. Both of these men were tax collectors. So when we think about this parable, before Jesus gets to the punchline, we may think, this Pharisee, he's a pretty good guy. He seems to be doing all the right things. He's fasting, he's giving a tenth of his money to the church, et cetera, et cetera. The tax collector, on the other hand, he is a greedy cheater. He's into all kinds of bad behavior. And then the punchline comes in. The tax collector went home justified, and the Pharisee did not. Why? So picture with me the tax collector. He is pleading for mercy. He knew that he had not done what was right by God. He fell to the ground. I'm not going to try to do that. He fell to the ground. He lowered his head before God. He was ashamed. He knew he did not deserve any mercy from God for the way he had been living. He beat his chest, and that was unusual for Jewish men to do in those days. And he cried out to God, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." See the tax collector? He opened his heart to God and realized that he could not make it in this world without God's mercy and grace. He understood his desperate need for God. One commentator asks, how can we reach a status of righteousness in God's eyes? The Pharisee trusted in himself for his righteousness, but the tax collector trusted in God for his righteousness. The tax collector did nothing to deserve God's mercy. The Apostle Paul in Romans 5:8 says, God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul gives us this assurance in Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one should boast. People of God, we're not saved by anything we do or anything we say. We are saved by God's grace. And when we read the Lord's Day 60 earlier, it states that we have never kept even one of God's commandments, and we are all inclined toward evil. And it continued that God gives us this righteousness without any merit of our own. It is sheer grace. So what about us? How can we be grateful? How can we be justified? How should we know how to live as a redeemed person? There's a balance. We cannot trust ourselves to achieve our salvation, but we're still called to follow God's law. We're still called to follow in the steps of Jesus, to be like him. So first, how are we justified? Our posture in our hearts needs to be humble before God. We need to believe the Lord's promises that he has given us. God's gift is free. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can accept the gift and open it up. Think of it this way. A friend comes and gives you a present. It's beautifully wrapped, probably much more beautiful than that picture. Beautifully wrapped. And when you say, "Why?" the person says, "Just because I love you." You leave the gift in your friend's arms and you say, "No, I can't accept this. I haven't been a very good friend to you. In fact, I have to apologize. I just spread a nasty story about you around the neighborhood because I was mad at you." Friend says, holding the gift, says, "I don't care. I forgive you. I want you to have this. But you refuse." This is how it is between us and God. God has a beautiful gift for you. But if you think that you need to earn it, then you are still leaving the gift in his hands, refusing to receive and open it. This beautiful gift is grace. So often we seem to think, well, if I'm just nice enough, I gotta be nice. I gotta do the right things. God will save me from my sins. This is what the Pharisee was thinking. He was not trusting in a merciful God to save him. He was trusting in his own efforts and deeds. The Pharisee was not praying for help from God. He was bragging about his own good deeds. The tax collector was ashamed. He was ashamed of his actions, his words, his deeds. He was not even able to look up to heaven. And this is why the tax collector was justified. Paul David Tripp says, "Prayer is abandoning my righteousness and admitting my need for forgiveness, resting on the grace of the cross of Jesus Christ." See, when we truly pray, it destroys our independent self and puts my need for dependency before my eyes. Prayer comes as a cry for help that I am often tempted to deny that I even need. So how do we live? We recognize that we need God's mercy. And because we need it, and because we are so grateful that he has given us this beautiful, wonderful gift that's out of this world and not even imaginable, we want to show thanks. So when someone does something nice to you, we often say thank you, right? We write a note of appreciation, maybe. Well, God gave us this beautiful gift. What are we doing to give him thanks? Because God has delivered us from death and sin, our lives should be showing gratitude for what he has done. I don't know where I heard this from, but our lives will look like a life of thanks living. Thanks living. That means every day that we live, we're living in thanksgiving. But remember, it's a balance, because what we do is not getting us to heaven. What we do is out of thanks to God. The Spirit empowers us to live in a prayerful worship and submission as an act of obedience. We need to be careful. We need to be careful, because so often we want to say, God, thank you that I am not like that Pharisee. See, we feel like we're living a righteous life, but we're not justified by God until we submit to him in a humble attitude of confession and gratitude for what he has done. No matter what we do, it's been stained by sin. I had a reminder of this. The other week I was listening to K-Love in the car, and the announcer said, they said something about, you know, if we're angry at our brother or sister, Jesus says it's the same as murder. Now, I'm pretty sure most of you have never actually murdered someone, unless there's some dark secret I don't know about, but that's okay. But if we've hated someone in anger, and I can imagine, because I've done it, I can imagine that every single one of us has at some point in our lives, we've murdered. We've broken that commandment. And then she went on to say, and Jesus also says, if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, I'm talking about, this is kind of aimed towards guys, but women, you can commit adultery too in your heart. Anytime we've looked at someone, we've committed adultery, even though we never went through the act. See, we're not subject to just the letter of the law, as the Pharisee believed. But Jesus is saying that we need to be held to the spirit of the law. David Lau says the secret to being a Christian is not to strive to be righteous or humble, not successful or failure, not rich or poor, not any things we can put on a scale and measure and compare, but instead to receive God's acceptance, his love, his mercy, his grace. We only need to simply recognize that we are in need of a Savior. Let me say that part again. We only need to recognize that we need God. Now, I don't want you to go home feeling terrible about yourself, because I want you to leave with good news that we have grace, but also because of that grace, God counts each of you as holy. Hebrews 10:10 says, "We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Christ once and for all." Each of you is a holy child of God. Now, at the beginning of this sermon, I said that the parable made me feel a little bit uncomfortable, and maybe you too. But I know and am reminded that because I accept God's grace and mercy, I am redeemed. I am cleansed, and I am called righteous. And this is true for each one of you. If you're willing to accept God's grace, you are redeemed. You are holy in God's eyes. I want to share a few lyrics from a favorite song of mine. It's called "Who I Am" by Ben Fuller. And I like this song because it helps remind me of my identity in Christ. Here are a few words from the chorus. It's who I am in the eyes of the Father. Who I am, His love set free. Who I was, I left at the altar. Because I am yours, Lord, I believe. It's who I am. I often think of this concept when we come to the Lord's table. Most of us come forward. Some of us receive it at our seats. But when we take that bread and when we take that juice, what you are saying is, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe He has made me white as snow before the Father. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are filled to live a life of love in service to God. People of God, go out accepting the gift of God's grace and living a life of gratitude for all that He has done. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen.